Welcome to Recover Strong, a show that will transform your recovery from an eating disorder by helping you go from theory to practice to mastery. I'm Jessica Flint, founder of Recovery Warriors, and you are listening to our podcast channel created specifically for you in all the stages and phases of recovery. I want to celebrate you for carving out this special time to learn new skills, tools, and get the inspiration you need to recover strong. Let's get started.
I'm your host, Andrea Wells. And just like you, I understand what it's like to live with an eating disorder and be held back by body image struggles. The recovery journey is ongoing, and we're all in it together as we learn to embrace new behaviors and new thoughts day by day. Join me as I connect with eating disorder experts and thought leaders to give you the tools, resources, and strategies you need to recover strong. Today, I'm joined by registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and certified personal trainer, Sam Previtt. She's the founder of Find Food Freedom, a weight-inclusive, health-at-every-size-informed virtual nutrition practice where she and her team strive to help clients break away from the harms of dieting. Sam recently joined us on a previous episode of Recover Strong, and she is back to answer a burning recovery question from our audience of warriors. Today's question comes from a member of the Courage Club. Tyra asks, quote, "How can I move past looking at moving my body as a transaction to burn calories? This is all I've known my whole life. I have a hard time actually wrapping my head around the concept of just exercising for fun or for joy and not to lose weight and burn calories. I don't know the point of moving for fun or how to figure out what those activities may even be." End quote. Tyra, what are your thoughts on that, Sam?
It's such a valid question, concern, obstacle, and it's something we see so common with clients when they are on an intuitive eating journey, because I think a lot of people think about intuitive eating as eating only and food only, but it's important to remember that one of the intuitive eating principles is movement, feel the difference, and really repairing and restoring our relationship with movement. So first, I think we can start with the basics of defining, you know, why do we move our body? And what are the intentions behind it? And so I think a lot of people, as they come to this space, they know, like Tyra said, like logically, she wants to move her body for joy, right? She wants to move her body, but her intentions for so long have only been to shrink, to punish, to burn calories. So looking at those different intentions can be really helpful. And then coming around to this idea of what is fun movement. I think we have so many ideas of what movement should look like coming from diet culture. Like we have to be sweating and we have to do it for at least X amount of time. So I think really thinking outside the box of what movement can look like, it doesn't have to be only one thing. The gym doesn't even have to be a part of it if you don't want it to be. So making a list of just any type of movement that you can think of that could be fun is somewhere. And then last but not least, somewhere where I find that we have to go in session, at least when we're working with clients on this, is if we want to work on our relationship with movement, we have to work on our relationship with rest. Because when we come from diet culture, we hear this message of move more, move more, move more, right? Constantly. And that gets in our head and we feel usually guilt or shame if we don't move or we skip a workout or we don't move our body for a period of time. And so when you are making peace with food, we have to have unconditional permission to eat in order to drop the guilt and shame associated to food. So I love to use that parallel with movement. In order to make peace with movement and come to a neutral space with it, before we ever get to joy or joyful movement, in order to make peace with movement, we have to have unconditional permission to rest. And that can take people days, weeks, years. Personally, for me, I had forced myself to move intentionally to shrink my body for so long that I had to believe and feel what it felt like to stop that movement that was harming me mentally and physically, and realize that the world went on. Because I think there's this fear of, same thing, we can bring it back to food. If I have unconditional permission to eat food, I'm never going to stop eating. I'm only going to eat cake, cookies, pizza, ice cream, like over and over and over and over. But we know that's not true. We know with food habituation that the body will start to normalize and fear those things less the more exposure we have, et cetera. So the same thing with rest. People think, if I have unconditional permission to rest, I'm never going to move. I'm going to become a couch potato. I'm lazy. I'm this, right? What does that say about me? Get curious about that. But also to realize that when you stop moving intentionally, the world goes on. Nothing's happening. We're okay. And once we realize that, and sometimes we have to feel that for ourselves, then we get to really tap into our body and say, what do I feel like doing? Because oftentimes clients will say, wait, I feel like I want to move my body, but that's scary, because does that mean I'm wanting to diet again? Or does that mean I want to intentionally lose weight? And that's where we get to explore and reclaim the relationship to movement. And that's going to look different every day. Some days, if you're mad and angry, you might want to punch the shit out of like a bag, right? Or like a kickboxing bag. Some days you might be like in this serene state and you want to go to a yoga class and you want to just stretch and enjoy the environment and the music. Some days you might have been stuck inside all day and you just want to get outside and you want to go for a walk and you want to look at the trees and hear the noises. And so this isn't like a one size fits all, of course, right? But those are kind of the avenues that my brain thinks about when I read Tyra's question.
And when Tyra says, she says, I don't even know how to figure out what those activities may even be, like the joyful movement or fun activities. How can someone like Tyra begin to explore, discover what those are? Like, what are the first steps to take?
So I think it could be different types of movement, and also thinking about how movement can be enjoyed individually and also in community. And community can mean a bunch of different things. So movement, you could think about kind of categorizing it, right? Like, so individual things could be going on a walk. Going on a walk could also be community, because it could be going with a friend. It could be going with a group of people. It could be so many different things. So I think thinking about it from an individual perspective / community perspective can be super helpful, because I find a lot of times for me, I'm not even craving the movement as much as I am the human connection that comes along with some of the tasks involved with movement. And then another thing is thinking about it from a hobby perspective. So sure, movement might be involved, but thinking about, okay, I've really wanted to take this dance class for X amount of years, right? I follow this account on Instagram. It looks so fun. The music is so fun. Like, the dances are so fun. So making a list of what are things that you maybe have wanted to do, but then it was followed up with a fear of, oh, but I can't do that. Like, my body can't do that. Or I need to lose weight before I go and do that. Or I, you know, whatever that fear or that secondary thing came up for. So that could be a fun one, where it could be a dance class, a tennis lesson, a golf lesson, a pottery lesson. Even like, it doesn't have to be this aerobic movement, right? It could be gardening. It could be so many things. So creating these categories of hobby, individual, community can help you come up with lists of different forms of movement that exist. And of course, for all different ranges of price too, because that we do want to bring up privilege in this conversation, that some forms of movement are freaking expensive. Some of these classes and things. So it doesn't even have to be that. It could be free forms of movement. That could be another column on our sheet where we're categorizing it in ways, and then we can go back, just brain dump everything on a page, and then we can come back to that and say, okay, out of everything I see here, out of everything written on this page, what is one that makes me feel like that sounds semi-enjoyable, right? Or that sounds like something I could try to get started with, and start there. And again, for me personally, I know connection, human connection is huge for my motivation for movement. So for example, as it is for everyone, life is busy. And to be able to catch up with some of my best friends and girlfriends in the area, well, usually I'm fortunate to live very close to a beach. So instead of, you know, meeting up for a coffee, or maybe we'll get the coffee and then we'll try to just go for a nice stroll on the beach. So one, we get to get outside, we get fresh air, we get change of environment, we get human connection, and we just also so happen move our bodies. But the movement isn't the centerpiece. The connection and the environment change is what I'm really looking for. So I think those are some ways that can really help cultivate different ideas, and to give yourself grace. That might sound fun for someone on Instagram. Like if someone's talking about this and you're like, that doesn't sound fun for me at all, doesn't have to, because your relationship with movement is different than everybody else's. And so if you don't like something or you try something and it's not fun, that's okay. Cross it off the list, try something else. And there's so many different ways we can move our body.
Yeah. And that's so important to highlight. And I like how you're saying, like, it doesn't have to be aerobic, sweaty thing, like gardening, pottery, going for a stroll with a friend. Like, it's so true. Like, I do a lot of DIY at my house and I'm like, this is my joyful movement. I love this. Like, I'm fixing up my house and moving my body around. Like, there's so many ways that we don't necessarily think of as traditional, quote, exercise or movement.
You just made me think of, first of all, your decor is beautiful in the background. I've been admiring it the whole time.
Oh, thank you.
But that's another example, is like productivity could be another column, right? Of, you don't always have to make movement a productive thing. But for me, I'm a big cleaner, like when I get stressed. Like, and so I'll pop on, you know, my AirPods, put a podcast on that I love, or like good jams, and just clean my house. And that's moving my body. And then you get done with it and you're like, look at my clean house. This is awesome. And so, and I get lost in the podcast. Like, I like to put ones on that are just funny and have nothing like serious, and I'll be giggling. And again, it's looking outside of the movement and like, what are other things I can get out of this? So that was a perfect example you gave too, of like the DIY.
Yeah, I do that in my life. And I think that's so helpful just to highlight that, like, it doesn't have to be just about movement. Like, there's connection, there's laughing, there's so many different things that go along with it. And I want to share something with Tyra as well that has been helpful for me when trying to figure out just how do I find stuff that is fun. It's just a question, like, would I do this if it would not change my body size? If like weight wasn't even a question, would I still want to do this activity? So I want to share that with Tyra, because I think that can be super helpful to be like, what are those activities that are fun? Or also thinking about like, what did you do when you were a little kid? Yes. And you know, you ride your bike down the street or you play in the yard, like stuff that's so uncoupled from the more toxic or harmful messages around movement.
I love that. And I'll actually add off of that. I love how you said, what did you do in childhood? Because somewhere along the way, as adults, we lose playtime, right? It's just, it's not something that we prioritize. And I was on an interview with Abby Chan, who is an amazing registered dietitian who talks a lot about movement and has a weight inclusive fitness center out in Arizona. And I told her this story that I was actually going to cancel my gym membership because I never go. And I was like, why do I even have this? So I was there to cancel it. And while I was there, I was like, oh, I'm going to just walk on the treadmill, listen to a podcast, like I'm here, whatever. And as I was walking to the locker room to use the restroom, I like saw the basketball courts out of the corner of my eye, and nobody was on them. And I was like, I should go shoot hoops. Like, that'd be so fun. I used to play basketball as a kid for years. And then like this little voice in my head was like, no, like, why would you go shoot hoops? Like, you don't need to go back on the treadmill. Like, what are you doing? Like, I was literally fighting with myself having this conversation. Again, I'm a dietitian. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor. I'm a certified personal trainer. And these things still pop up. And then I was like, no, fuck that. I'm going to go shoot hoops. And I did. And I was like laughing. I was having fun. Like, I was just like, you know, doing something fun and got completely lost in it. And I think that's like that perfect example of it brought me back to like childhood in those moments of doing that. There was no mission for moving my body. It was just simply to have fun and to be in the moment and to do that. And so I couldn't agree more with you to also reflect on your childhood of what did you do as a child when you moved your body. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't have to be a sport per se. Mine just so happens to be in that example. But I think that was something that like, it really struck me like, whoa, okay, interesting. Let's get curious about this. And yeah, we can bring joy and play back into our lives as adults.
Absolutely. That's like beautiful. Your story about the basketball, like it is just about fun and freedom. And like, you can enjoy that. And I want to get your take on like, as a certified intuitive eating counselor and personal trainer, like when you're working with someone who is maybe struggling with like over-exercising or compulsive exercise or really like pushing themselves really hard, how do you work with someone like that to maybe like taper down or find a slower pace?
I think it's really coming back to recognizing, is the movement supporting our relationship with food and body and overall health? And I will say a lot of the clients that we support are at a place where they can recognize that, because sometimes it can take a long time, right, to build that awareness, to recognize that, hey, moving my body more is not the answer here. The answer is actually the opposite. I need to taper down. So a lot of the clients that we support are at a place where they have that awareness. And so for some people, it is intentionally tapering down movement for a time, especially if when we're looking at our food, our relationship with food and our food intake, if that is not matching the output of the activity. Because we do have people we work with that love to run marathons, right? Or love... Is that for me? Nope, sure isn't. But some people love it, and that's great. And if we're doing that, it takes a very, very, you know, intentional planning of food as well, because the output of energy is so large that we need to make sure that input of food is supporting your body. And so it's just having really honest conversations with clients of coming back to, what are our intentions of working together? Is it to support your physical, mental, emotional health? Is it to feel more pleasant in your body? Is it to have increased energy? Is it to have more life satisfaction? These are the goals. If the movement is too much and it's not aligning with what we're trying to achieve, then we need to taper down. And that's not to say that, you know, movement is bad or movement shouldn't happen, but there does become a time where, just like restriction gets too extreme, right? Restriction is extreme. Movement is extreme. And it can have those, movement and food has those parallels where we need to definitely be aware of that.
What are some things people can look for, like in their body and mind, that might be telling them we need to slow down?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of the physical, right? It could be loss of a menstruation. It could be feeling cold a lot of the time. It could also be if you have obsessive thoughts about food and hunger, like you're eating and you're like, when am I eating next? When am I eating next? Like, that is a lot of times, if we're having too much output, we're going to see that coming. Increase injury, of course, soreness. But if we're overdoing exercise and under fueling, we're at a huge risk of increase of injury. So if we're constantly being injured, that's something to keep an eye out for. Also, just think about emotionally, like guilt or shame. What if you can't get to your workout that day? Does it completely derail your entire day? And now you think you're a bad person and you got to go extra hard tomorrow, or you got to make up for it? Or can you miss a workout and say, oh, darn, like would have liked to get to it, but that's okay. Like, What does your mental health look like around that? When it comes to trackers, right? Everyone has Apple Watches and Fitbits and all of these things. Like, are you using that to define your worth? So if you don't get a certain amount of steps or miles or heart rate or whatever that tracker is for you, is that, again, defining how good you are that day or how worthy you are that day or if you had a good day or not? So I think there's so many different things we can look for, but that's kind of how I think of it, is like there's the physical, but then there's also that mental, emotional load that comes along with the over-exercising.
Yeah, and the mental and emotional is just as important as the physical, and I think that can get overlooked, so.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Those are very helpful things to look out for, so thank you for highlighting that. And I want to know, what was it like for you to, because you have mentioned that you pursued your certification as a personal trainer to enhance your work as intuitive eating dietitian. So what was it like going for a certification as a personal trainer from that angle? Because I can imagine that is not the norm. It's probably people coming from like diet culture place. So what was that like for you in that process?
Yeah. So when I got certified as a personal trainer, I was actually still, I would say I was like more in the diet culture camp than I was in the intuitive eating camp. I got certified years and years ago, like honestly around 2016 when I was first exposed to intuitive eating. So I wasn't, let's say, as aware, but one thing I will say as a personal trainer who, you know, does my continuing ed every 2 years to keep up with my certification, I like groan when I get to this mark because I'm like, I have to find continuing ed that like somehow aligns with me when so much of the continuing ed is about weight loss, weight management, right? Like things that are very rooted in diet culture. So I'm very grateful though for the certification because I can find now there's more and more providers, personal trainers that are not rooting their entire mission in changing someone's body. It's coming to movement because of how you feel. And we're starting to very, very slowly see that shift. I love Clarity Fitness, and Georgia is an amazing account to follow. They are a weight inclusive gym, and they have like, you walk into the gym and it's just like smashed scales all over the wall. Like, it's so cool. And then again, Abby Chan, I mentioned, she owns Evolve in Flagstaff, Arizona. And those are two accounts that I really like to follow. Trainers I really like. Meg Boggs is another one. Martinius Evans, I believe his account is 300 pounds and running. So really just trying to immerse myself with people in the fitness community that reside in all size bodies and are showing us that fitness doesn't have a look, because just like diet culture, right? We've been told like, this is what we need to look like to be healthy. Fitness culture is like diet culture on steroids. And so it's that same message, but unfortunately I think the fitness culture is, I say that, I was going to say is behind us in the nutrition space, but I'm like, as we talked about on our other episode, there's a lot of shit still going on in the nutrition space. So yeah, I think it's just taking it day by day. And I would really encourage listeners to follow accounts that do not look like this diet culture-y version, right? Of thin and 8-pack abs and all that. Like, that means nothing. You can be fit in any size body.
Yes. And I'm so grateful you brought up some of these accounts, like, yeah, like Abby Chan, Meg Boggs, Evolve Fitness. I am finding it increasingly surprising and delightfully surprising every time I discover accounts like that or companies like that. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we have a gym here called Current Wellness, and they're all body liberation, joyful movement. It's freaking amazing.
Wow.
I know. It's been like, it's a wonderful community. And so just like, dear listener, look around your community. You may be surprised what's there, because these things are, they're popping up. They're continuing to grow. So you might have something either definitely online, as Sam is suggesting, or maybe even in person, depending on where you are.
Yes. It makes me want to open one. One day.
See,
at
I know,
a
I'm
time.
Like, this might be a good business opportunity because they're coming up and they're doing well. I'm like, I gotta find a city that doesn't have one. Let's start one.
Oh, no, I was gonna say, I don't know if I like, knowing my Jacksonville community, I do not believe we have one. I think there is a place that offers dance classes that is very inclusive, but of course that's very specific type of movement. But it's something to think about, because how cool is it that we could open these places that all bodies are welcome? I mean, it sounds like such a simple idea, such a simple idea, but it is radical these days. But one day it won't be radical, I believe. It'll be the norm.
I agree. We're on the path. Before we go, do you have any parting words or advice or encouragement to send Tyra off with as she continues her journey of redefining movement?
I would say, allow yourself to rest. It's okay to rest. And in the rest, silence, I think that Tyra will be able to come to some of these things she's searching for. But if we're going from moving our body as punishment and thinking that we're going to flip a switch and wake up one day and move our body and it's going to be joyful, unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way. And so sitting in that rest, allowing yourself to rest and reflecting on a lot of the things that you and I talked about today, I think can be a really, really great place for her to start.
Well, thank you, Sam, for sharing your insights today on Tyra's burning question. It was wonderful to have you back. And before we go, can you let all the listeners know how they can stay in touch with you?
Yeah, the easiest way would probably be to head over to our Instagram account. So you can give us a follow at find.food.freedom. And I'm excited to share that we are now accepting health insurance, which has been a long time coming. So we have an amazing team of 10 plus registered dietitians, certified intuitive eating counselors. And if you come on over to our Instagram at find.food.freedom, you can get your benefits checked and see if you can match with a provider and get this care for free or a very, very, very low cost.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Sam. I so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, my warrior friend, thank you for having the discipline to listen in. If you found this episode helpful and know somebody in recovery who could benefit from its inspiring message, please share this show with them. It would mean the world to us at Recovery Warriors if we can get our cause out to more people struggling with an eating disorder. So if what you heard today was helpful, share the show with another warrior or anyone on your treatment team. You can do this directly from your podcast player or send them over to recoverywarriors.com. We have a goldmine of free resources there for all stages of recovery. And until the next episode, may compassion light the path you are on and courage keep you on it. You totally got this, warrior.